Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into smart water network solutions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you turn on your tap, there's this whole complex system working behind the scenes, right?
Absolutely. It's massive.
And we're going to look at how tech is making it, well, smarter. We've got some really interesting stuff here from Crowder Consulting. They're apparently a big name in this area.
Yeah, they seem to be leaders based on this flyer.
Exactly. This Crowder Flyer 2024.pdf gives a good snapshot. So our mission today for you listening is to kind of pull out the key bits.
Right.
You know, what are these smart networks? What solutions are out there? And importantly, why does it matter for, well, managing water better?
We want to give you the essentials without, you know, drowning you in detail.
Exactly. Avoid the overwhelm.
Yeah. And think about it like this. For a long time, managing these water networks, it involved a lot of, let's say, educated guesses, reacting after something went wrong.
Right. Fixing leaks after they happen.
Precisely. Smart water networks, they're about flipping that.
Yeah.
Being proactive. Using data. Using technology. Getting a real-time picture of the system.
Okay. So making better decisions before things break.
That's the idea. And this Crowder material, it really shows the scope of it all. It's not just tech. It's training people. It's analyzing data.
Right.
The whole package.
Okay, yeah. They kick off calling themselves a world-leading provider of smart water network solutions.
Yeah.
Which is quite the statement.
It is bold.
But looking at what they offer,
yeah,
it does seem pretty comprehensive. They've got training, field work, consultancy, leak detection, and a big focus on data. Let's start with the people side of the training.
Good starting point. Because, you know, the best tech is useless if people don't know how to use it effectively.
True.
So Crowder offers different ways to learn. There's e-learning, online assessments, the typical classroom training. And even one-on-one coaching right there on site.
And they specifically mentioned this fast-track leakage detection training, foundation to practitioner. Sounds intense.
Yeah, and they have a 3-day and even a 1-day option. So really trying to get people up to speed quickly.
A fast-track for finding leaks. That seems incredibly useful. I mean, water loss from leaks is just huge, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely massive.
I read somewhere that even in developed countries, this non-revenue water leaks and other losses can be like upwards of 20% sometimes.
Yeah, it's often surprisingly high. So training programs that can quickly give people the skills to find and fix those leaks, that directly saves water, saves money. It's critical.
Makes sense. And that training, I suppose, leads right into their actual fieldwork services.
Exactly. They're not just teaching it. They're out there doing it, collecting the data you actually need. Things like monitoring flow, pressure, water levels.
The basics of how water's moving around.
Right, the fundamentals.
Yeah.
Gives you that baseline picture.
Okay. And they also mentioned meter verification surveys. Yeah. That sounds mundane, but I guess it's important.
Oh, absolutely crucial. Think about it. If your water meters aren't accurate, your billing is wrong, sure. But you also don't really know how much water is being used where.
Right. It messes up your whole understanding of demand, like having a faulty fuel gauge in your car.
Exactly like that. Good analogy. And then customer night use studies. This one's interesting.
Night use. What's that about?
Well, they look at water usage patterns really late at night when most people are asleep, and legitimate use should be very low.
Ah, so if there's still significant flow.
Exactly. It's often a strong sign of hidden leaks on the customer side or maybe even nearby in the network itself, things you wouldn't easily spot during the day.
Clever. Looking for clues in the quiet. They also list GPS surveying.
Mm-hmm. Essential for mapping. These pipe networks are incredibly complex and often underground, so accurate maps are vital.
And water efficiency studies, just looking for ways to use less, I guess.
Yeah, identifying areas for conservation. But the key thing they stress across all this field work is careful planning and getting highly accurate results.
Because bad data leads to bad decisions.
Precisely. You can't manage what you don't measure accurately.
Okay, so they're getting their hands dirty, collecting data. Then comes the innovative and progressive consultancy. Making sense of it all.
Yeah, this is where the strategic thinking comes in. They say they look at the whole network from source to tap.
The whole journey.
Right. And that covers some critical areas. We mentioned leakage and NRW management, but also hydraulic modeling, build and analysis.
Okay. Hydraulic modeling sounds technical.
It is, but think of it like creating a digital twin, a detailed computer simulation of the actual water network.
Like a video game of the water pipes.
Sort of. But engineers use it to test things, what happens if demand spikes here? What if this pipe breaks? They run scenarios on the model.
Without messing up the real water supply.
Exactly. It's powerful for planning, for figuring out problems before they happen.
That's cool. A virtual stress test.
Yeah.
Okay, they also list area sectorization and metering. Can you break that down?
Sure. So imagine a big city's water network. It's huge, right? Sectorization is about dividing it into smaller, manageable zones, like districts or neighborhoods. They call them DMAs, district metered areas.
Okay, little zones.
Yeah, and each DMA has meters monitoring the water going in and sometimes coming out. This lets the utility track water use much more closely within that specific zone.
Ah, so if more water goes into a zone than is accounted for.
Bingo. You likely have a leak somewhere in that specific DMA. It narrows down the search area dramatically compared to looking across the entire city.
Divide and conquer. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense for finding leaks.
Definitely. And then there's pressure optimization analysis.
Finding the right pressure, I assume. Not too high, not too low.
That's exactly it. Too much pressure stresses the pipes, causes more leaks and bursts. Too little, and, well, people at the end of the line might not get enough water.
Finding the Goldilocks zone for water pressure.
You got it. It's about efficiency and minimizing stress on the infrastructure. And lastly, they mention network connectivity and analysis.
Understanding how it all fits together.
Yeah, knowing exactly which pipe connects where, which valves control what sections. It sounds basic, but it's crucial for planning maintenance or rerouting water during an emergency for overall resilience.
Got it. So training, fieldwork, strategy. Now, let's zoom in on their leakage detection services. This feels like a real core focus for them.
It definitely seems to be. They mentioned DMA sectorization again, which just highlights how fundamental it is for leak hunting.
Right, setting up those zones.
Then they offer DMA leakage surveys, actively going into those zones to find leaks, and trunk main leakage correlation.
Trunk mains. Those are the big pipes, right?
Yeah, the really large ones carrying huge volumes of water. A leak there is a big deal. Correlation often uses acoustic sensors.
Listening devices.
Kind of. They place sensors along the pipe and listen for the specific sound signature of a leak. By correlating the timing of when the sound reaches different sensors, they can pinpoint the leak's location pretty accurately.
Wow. High-tech listening.
It is. Then validation surveys to confirm the leak is actually there before digging. And acoustic monitoring deployment suggests using these listening devices more permanently for ongoing surveillance.
The flyer really pushes that their teams are multi-skilled specialists with the latest technology and equipment. Sounds like they bring serious expertise.
It sounds like it. And finding leaks, especially small or hidden ones, it really does take skill. It's not just about seeing water bubble up. It's interpreting data, understanding the network.
Which leads us perfectly into their data services. Because all this work generates a ton of data, right?
An absolute mountain of it. And their focus here is on efficient data management and, crucially, improving water network intelligence.
Turning data noise into useful signals.
Well put. It's about making that data work for you. They list specific services like system data integration.
Bringing different systems together.
Yeah. Think about a water utility. They have billing systems, operational control systems, SCADA, maybe asset management databases, customer contact logs, often all separate.
Silos of information.
Exactly. Integration is about connecting these silos, letting the data flow between them so you get a more complete picture.
That must unlock a lot of insights. They also mentioned data validation and visualization.
Mm-hmm. First, validation, making sure the data you're collecting and integrating is actually accurate. Garbage in, garbage out. Right. Then, visualization. Turning spreadsheets and raw numbers into charts, maps, dashboards, things people can actually understand quickly to see trends or spot anomalies.
Making data digestible.
Yeah. And data science and analytics goes deeper using stats, algorithms, maybe AI, to find patterns and insights that aren't obvious on the surface.
And whole life cycle model maintenance.
Uh-huh.
That connects back to the digital twin thing.
It does, that hydraulic model, that digital twin. It needs to be kept up to date as the real network changes new pipes, valve replacements, etc. Otherwise, it becomes useless. So they help maintain its accuracy over time.
Keeping the virtual world in sync with the real one.
Precisely. And they mention smart meters and demand, too, harnessing that detailed usage data. But what's key here is they call themselves a key partner.
Not just a vendor.
Right. They're positioning themselves as helping utilities on that whole journey to becoming more data-driven, improving that network intelligence. It's a partnership approach.
Okay. And this all seems to feed into or be managed by their NetBase digital platform, the central hub.
That looks like the idea. NetBase is presented as the central platform that pulls together data from all those different sources we mentioned, the utility's own enterprise systems, and the smart tech out in the field.
Like the sensors and loggers.
Exactly. It integrates everything into one place.
And the NetBase digital services, they call it a complete toolkit for managing the network and specifically cutting down leakage.
Yeah, so it's not just a passive database. It's an active platform with tools built in to help manage operations and tackle problems like leaks.
And they mentioned benefits for different people, managers, analysts, field teams, all getting key network insights on demand.
Which is important, right? Different roles need different information presented in different ways. On-demand access means quicker, more informed decisions.
Yeah, they even call out NetOps specifically for the field teams, giving them up-to-date info on their devices and letting them feed back information in real time. That could really smooth things out.
Absolutely. Closing that loop between the field and the control center or the analysts is huge for efficiency. Faster responses, better data collection.
And for the analysts, NetBase helps with prioritization.
Right. Figuring out which potential leak or issue to tackle first.
Planning, scheduling work, and reporting on how things are going.
Yeah, all the tools needed to manage the workflow and track progress effectively.
And just look at the list of tech and data they say feeds into NetBase. It's pretty comprehensive.
It really is. Let's see, GIS maps, customer billing, water quality sensors, acoustic data, customer calls, SCADA telemetry.
Smart meters, fast loggers, edge analytics doing processing near the sensor.
Yeah, processing data locally to get faster insights or reduce data transmission needs.
Then satellite AI.
Using satellites and AI for what?
Potentially things like detecting large surface leaks over wide areas, or maybe monitoring ground conditions that could affect pipes. It's pretty advanced stuff.
Wow. Plus other enterprise systems. It's a lot.
It is. And bringing all those diverse streams together, that's where you get the really powerful, holistic view of the network. You can spot connections and correlations you'd miss looking at data in isolation.
Okay. So pulling it all together, it really does seem like Crowder Consulting, based on this flyer anyway, is aiming to provide this this complete ecosystem.
Yeah, an integrated suite of solutions.
To help the water industry tackle its big challenges. You've got the training, the field work, the strategic advice, the specialized leak finding, the data crunching, and this central NetBase platform tying it all together.
Exactly. It's all geared towards helping utilities become more efficient, more sustainable, more intelligent in how they manage water.
Moving away from just reacting, right, towards being proactive, data-driven, better planning, smarter use of resources, and hopefully a more reliable water supply for everyone.
So for you, the listener, the big takeaway here is smart water networks are really about using data and tech to manage water way more effectively. It's about efficiency, sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And companies like Crowder are offering this wide range of services and tools like their NetBase platform to make that happen. Integrating everything seems key.
It really does. And maybe stepping up for a final thought, you know, we face huge pressures on water globally. Population growth, climate change, aging pipes.
Yeah, it's a growing concern.
So these kinds of integrated data-heavy approaches, they're not just about fixing leaks slightly faster. They represent a pretty fundamental shift.
How so?
Well, it's moving towards actively optimizing these incredibly complex, vital systems in near real time. It's a different way of thinking.
Right. And that does make you wonder, as these smart networks get even smarter, we gain this incredibly detailed understanding of our water infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
What else could that lead to? Could it fundamentally change how we value, manage, and even think about water in our communities and globally? Beyond just efficiency, what are the wider implications of having that kind of deep network intelligence?
It's definitely something worth pondering.
Absolutely. Well, that's our deep dive for today. Thanks for joining us.